Good morning and welcome to the program. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Washington Street Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. It's good to have you along with us this morning. I'd like for you, if you could, to get a pencil and a piece of paper out in your Bibles and let's study the Bible together. And if you'd like, write down some of the verses that I talked to you about and maybe go back over them when we're done. In our preceding lesson last week, we introduced the theme of Jesus the Way. Now I'd like to concentrate our attention on the subject that Jesus is the way to a better life. You know, there's a popular saying in the world today, and it's the good life. Everybody wants to live the good life. The dream isn't new. It's been a desire of every age and every walk of life, of teachers and philosophers, of kings and of common men. But the truly good life is found when we understand that Jesus is the way. And to see how this is true, consider first that Jesus corrects our misconceptions on many things. What the good life means to many is material prosperity, pleasure, popularity, and other things that the world has to offer. Many think that material prosperity, pleasure, and popularity will bring us peace and happiness. But it's obvious that many wealthy, high-living, famous people are extremely unhappy and lacking in inner peace. Well, Jesus corrects this misconception. He taught that there is more to life than material possessions. And we read such in Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13. Then one of the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns, and I will build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for you for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" You see, Jesus offers us a peace which things of the world cannot give, and a joy which is complete and full. John 14:27 reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in John 15:11, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." What the world cannot give us, Jesus can. And Jesus leads the way to a better life by identifying and removing the real problem. What is the cause of so much unhappiness? What deprives so many of inner peace? Is it not things like immorality, theft, murder? Things like coveting, deceit, envy, and pride? Such things destroy families, friendships, and property. So what is the cause of these things? Well, Jesus declared the source to be the sinful hearts of men. We read in Mark 7 at verse 21, "For from within, out of the hearts of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." And James, Jesus' half-brother in the flesh, agreed with this diagnosis. He wrote in James chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But Jesus has taken the steps to remove this problem. Titus 3 at verse 3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of our God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." You see, it was out of kindness, out of love, mercy, and grace that God, through Jesus Christ, has saved us and made us righteous in His sight. And this took place when we experienced the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which is a reference to the act of baptism in which one believes in Jesus and is truly born again of water and Spirit. From John chapter 3, verse 5. In other words, Jesus removes the problem of unhappiness and lack of inner peace by first removing the cause. And that cause is sin. Jesus leads us to a better life by teaching us to seek new goals in life. He warns of the folly of seeking after riches in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, when he says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." See, they're perishable and they're open to theft. But he also teaches us to put our treasure in heaven in verse 20 of Matthew 6, when he says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal, where it's imperishable and where it's secure." And we read in 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3. 1 Peter 1, beginning with verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So how does one go about laying up treasure in heaven? Well, by living for Jesus, even under the most adverse conditions. Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23 reads, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." And by following His teachings, Luke 6, 35, "But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil." Jesus leads us to a better life by giving us what we don't expect. You see, once we learn not to make material things and pleasure and fame our goals in life, but instead make following Jesus and His teachings our goal, He then provides us unexpected portions of those very things. He provides us material things for those who put God first. In Matthew 6, beginning with verse 31, we read, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And Mark chapter 10, beginning with verse 28. "Then Peter began to say to Him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And Jesus also provides pleasure that is full and inexpressible. We read in John chapter 15 at verse 11. John chapter 15 at verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Speaking about Jesus, it says, "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." And he provides us a fame that lasts forever. Colossians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 reads, "For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." That's the fame that we should seek, to be with Christ. You know, in the very exercise of living for Christ and following his example, we find peace and happiness. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, we read, "I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" You know, the world sets before us goals which many people cannot achieve. And even if they are achieved, often they do not satisfy. As Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity." But Jesus places before us goals which can be achieved and that do satisfy. All can store up treasure in heaven, and all can live for Jesus, because Jesus is the way to a better life. Do you believe that Jesus is the way to a better life? Well, if you do, certainly you have repented of your sins and confessed Jesus as Lord and been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're living a faithful life. If not, do those things now before it's too late, and we can help you. If you have become a Christian by believing the Word of God, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, but you've failed to live up to that commitment that you made to Christ, get back with Jesus. Make sure that you are still a part of that better life. And if we can help you, let us know. We'll ask for nothing in return. My name is Scott Pauley. I'm the minister for the Church of Christ at 601 Washington Street in St. Albans, West Virginia. Stop by and see us. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study and 10:25 for worship service. And then we meet again on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. for worship services. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. You can give us a call if you like at 304-727-0761, or you can email me at wvdj105@aol.com. You can check us out on Facebook at Washington Street CFC, or you can look us up online at www.washingtonstreetcofc.org. That's www.washingtonstcofc.org. If you're not in the St. Albans area, but you would like to attend the services of a Church of Christ, get a hold of me and I can get you in contact with someone who can help you. Remember, the Churches of Christ will never solicit money from you. We only want you to learn the gospel, and we want you to go to heaven. We appreciate you joining with us each Sunday morning for Words of Truth.